Okay, we're going to do the book of Mark first. I don't know if you remember Pastor Scott did, I'm supposed to tell you something. By the way, we are live for Thursday night from Westland, Oregon. Just to let you know, we are going live on Facebook, so we need to tell you that, okay? So that's going to happen right now. So, yeah, Pastor Scott talked through this year, the book, how long ago it was, maybe 8 years, 10 years, I don't know, but it became one of my favorite books. I just love the book of Mark. So we thought since we're going to read that together, it'd be helpful just to give a little bit of an intro and an overview, because that's just a good thing to do when you're going to start any book. So what I want to cover, and it's only going to be about 15 minutes here, so I want to cover first some historical background to give you context for where it fits into the flow of the entirety of God's Word. And then we're going to talk about who wrote it, when it was written, and to whom it was directed. And then we're going to talk about kind of some distinctives of the book of Mark, of the Gospel of Mark, as well as maybe a little bit of an outline. So, first, the background. If you were in the Panorama Bible study with me, you know that I get excited about an overview and where something fits, how it fits together. I get really excited about that, and I think it's especially important with the Word of God, with the Bible. And the big picture of how it all fits together is really key to understanding the part you're reading, if you know how it fits into the flow of the entirety. Have you ever put together an IKEA flat pack or something? Has anyone ever put a piece of that together? And if you started on step 16, you know, you would kind of have trouble because you wouldn't know where, it'd be hard to see how it all fits together because you didn't see the whole flow. So I just want to give you a little bit of a background to Mark in the context of God's Word. So here we go. Some of you will recognize part of this. So simply put, the Bible has two major divisions. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, pretty much, it begins with creation, and then it tells the story of the Jewish people for the rest of the book. And it tells how God chose them as a people to send a Redeemer through them. He would send a Redeemer for mankind through the Jewish people. They were his chosen people. And God made that promise. He promised that he will send a Redeemer. So we see that in the Old Testament. And then at the end of the Old Testament, we've got the Jews in Israel, established, set up in Israel, and they are waiting for their Messiah. Okay, then we have a period of silence. There's 400 years of silence from where God does not speak. This is in between the Old Testament and the New Testament. 400 years. Not a spoken word, not a written word, not a prophet, not a prophecy, not a messenger, nothing. But the Jews waited and they waited and they waited for their Messiah. But then, the Old Testament opens up and it records how that silence was broken. And that silence was broken with angelic messengers. And there's four places you probably are thinking already. You can think of some of the places where that silence was broken. One of them was when Gabriel came to Zechariah. He was the husband of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, and mother of John the Baptist. And Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. With these messengers, God was breaking the silence and saying, okay, the Messiah's about ready to come on stage here. The Messiah's get ready to enter. And so an angel appeared to Zechariah. Then there was an appearance by Gabriel to Mary. Then there was an appearance of an angel to Joseph. And then there was an appearance by the angel to the shepherds on the hill the night Christ was born. And the proclamation was, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So that's where the silence was broken. This is the New Testament, and you know the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels, or the good news of Jesus Christ. And they each tell about the life, the ministry, the life of Jesus, and his death and resurrection. But each of the four Gospels have a slightly different camera angle. And I want to talk about Mark's camera angle in just a moment after we talk about the other things. But the narrative of the Gospels takes place from about 4 BC to about 30 AD in the land of Palestine. And it's during the Roman rule. Now, Palestine is the same area that was Canaan back in the time of Abraham. And then it became the nation of Israel. And that's where you see it at the end of during the kingdom time and at the end of the Old Testament. And then in the time of the Roman rule, it's called Palestine. It's a little bit different than Palestine today, but basically it's the size of the state of New Jersey. So the Gospels take place in an area about the size of the state of New Jersey. So who wrote the Gospel of Mark? Mark. Specifically John Mark. So who is John Mark? We have some verses that give us a clue as to who he is. We know from written for Gentile readers in general, Roman readers in particular. And the reason, that's why the other three Gospels start out with genealogies, if you've noticed that. Matthew and Luke and John, they all start out with genealogies, but Mark does not. And it was because it didn't matter to the Gentiles that about the genealogies. So that's where it starts. Lineage would have been very important to the Jewish people. So that leads us to the distinctives of Mark. What is the camera angle of Mark's gospel? So it opens the first verse of the book is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's Mark 1:1. Again, it doesn't begin with a genealogy. It starts when Jesus is already grown up. It starts at his baptism. He's an adult, and that's where it starts. And from the beginning, we see the establishing of who Jesus is, his identity. At his baptism, God audibly speaks and says, "You are my beloved son." And this is in the first chapter of Mark. "You are my beloved son." And then the whole, the first half of the book, the first eight chapters, is about identity. Who is Jesus? You ever been in an airport or something and you see a hubbub around somebody, you go, "Who is that? I wonder who that is." Or somebody quotes somebody, and then you like, "I wonder who that person is." And you look, you Google them, and you try to figure out, who is this person that, you know, everybody's quoting? So it was kind of like that. It was, you know, a lot of that kind of thing. Who is this? What is this person? What authority? So in chapter one, we see Jesus is casting out demons, and the people are wondering, who is this that speaks with such authority? And then in chapter two, he goes about performing miracles and forgiving sins, and the scribes say, "Who is this that can do this?" And they're wondering, "Who is this person?" And then chapter three, the demons cry out, and they identify him. They say, "You are the Son of God." And then in chapter four, during the storm, when Jesus is on the boat with the disciples, and Jesus is down sleeping, and which is the only place in the whole New Testament where it mentions Jesus sleeping. Jesus is sleeping, and it's a storm on the sea, and the disciples are afraid, and Jesus comes and he just stills them. He says, "Be still," and the storm and the wind just stops. And the disciples talk among themselves and they say, "Who is this that the wind and the waves obey him?" And even King Herod, chapter 6, he's wondering who was Jesus. He's, you know, is he Elijah? Is he a prophet? Is he even John the Baptist, who I just beheaded, you know, come back to life? So Herod's wondering who he is. But then the culmination of this question of who is he comes at the end of chapter 8, Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he's saying to his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they answer some of those same questions, a prophet, Elijah. And then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? And Peter right away spoke up, you are the Christ. Peter knew, you are the Christ. And it was very important at that point that they understood the identity of Jesus Christ. So the identity was the first part of the eight chapters. And then it transitions for the next two chapters. We're going to transition into Jesus' private ministry with his disciples as he made them understand what his mission was, what his mission as Messiah is. And he's telling them, I came to be a servant and I came to suffer. So that's the message he's trying to get across to his disciples. And then from chapter 11 to the end of the book, chapter 16, then we have the Passion Week. So that's basically the outline of the book of Mark. Of interest also of the first part of the book, of the first 10 chapters, you see the word immediately. It's a distinctive of Mark. You see it 45 times, which is a term that shows action and pace. But then when you transition to chapter 11, it just slows way, way down. I mean, down to, you know, day by day, hour by hour, you know, moment by moment, blow by blow. I mean, it's just very, very slow. And so you see that it's very, very distinctive in Mark. So to recap, we have the first eight chapters. We see Jesus' identity being established, and then it culminates in Peter's confession, and then we transition the next two chapters as Jesus clarifies to his disciples what his mission is. And then in chapters 11 through 16, we see the Passion Week of Jesus as he completes that mission. So that's the book of Mark. And as we were playing that game, I was just thinking, would you rather? I was just thinking, it's like the ultimate would you rather. I mean, I think about Jesus, you know, Jesus, would you rather go through this, you know, the agony of the suffering that he suffered, you know, with the scourging and the cross and the betrayals and the face of God turning away, or would you leave billions of souls to fend for themselves? So give us a breath of God. And we have eternal great gratitude. We can eternally be grateful for the way he chose. So enjoy the book of Mark. It's one of my favorites.